Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. The National Public Health Emergency Team is meeting this lunchtime to consider whether AstraZeneca COVID vaccinations should resume here after the European Medicines Agency said the vaccine was safe and effective. Use of AstraZeneca, you'll recall, was suspended last weekend because of safety concerns over possible blood clotting. The EMA said the vaccine's benefits in protecting people from COVID-19 outweighed the risks, although it couldn't definitively rule out a link between the vaccine and the suspect cases. We're joined here in studio by Dr. Lorraine Nolan, who's Chief Executive of Ireland's Drugs Regulator, the Health Products Regulatory Authority, which is represented on the European Medicines Agency. Dr. Nolan, a very good afternoon to you, and thanks for coming into the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian.
First of all, can you just explain to us what the EMA, what the European regulator, and you endorse their review here, is saying about this AstraZeneca vaccine?
Well, as you've outlined there in your introduction, Brian, yesterday the European Medicines Agency concluded that the benefit-risk of the AstraZeneca vaccine remains positive and remains a very safe and efficacious vaccine. So they have been conducting a review over the past week or so, and as you said in the introduction, that review was into the area of blood clotting. So they've been focusing really on two issues in that review. The first is the generality of blood clotting in itself, and this would be the kind of blood clotting that you're listeners today will be quite familiar with, such as clots in the legs or clots in the lungs. And they have concluded on foot of that review that there is no increased risk associated with the use of the vaccine in the context of that type of blood clotting. But within that, they have been looking at a subset, and it's a very small subset, a small number of cases. And we'll be talking here about maybe 25 cases in a usage of 20 million dosages of the vaccine between the Europe, the EEA countries and the UK itself, which are of a more severe nature. So it would be clotting in conjunction with and bleeding, which have occurred in younger people with no underlying health conditions. So they certainly have not reached the point of concluding yet that there is a link between these more unusual types of cases and the very small numbers that have been seen on the vaccine, but they cannot conclude that there isn't what's called a causal association, and they have concluded that requires further review, and that review now will be expedited and will take place over the coming the weeks to come.
But in the meantime, they're saying, yes, the vaccine is safe, it's effective, and it should be used across the EU.
Absolutely. And that is, as I've said, although these very rare cases have been, a very small number of these cases have been identified, certainly by no means yet proven that this is associated with the use of the vaccine, but it needs further review.
But you endorse their recommendation. You and the Health Products Regulatory Authority, and indeed the Immunisation Advisory Group, are saying, yes, it's safe to use.
Well, what will happen now, and it has been actively happening this morning, you will be aware that the National Immunisation Committee is meeting, and they will possibly announce later today their position in relation to that. But we will be feeding into those discussions. The regulatory position and our view would reflect the view of the EMA as well.
And your view is it's safe, it should be used. But what about perhaps some caution being exercised in relation to people who might have a medical history in relation to blood clots? Will there be that kind of advice as part of this decision, do you think?
Well, what will happen now, Brian, and the EMA in their press conference yesterday was very clear in that there is an intention to put a warning into the information that accompanies the product and into the information leaflet. Now, that's a little bit unusual at this stage in the process because, as I've said, there isn't, you know, a proven causal association. But the reason the warning is going to be put into the product information is really about, you know, being very cautious. It's been about being prudent. It's to raise awareness among people that are being vaccinated of the kind of symptoms that they should look out for, to raise awareness with healthcare professionals that if people come back to them in the period after vaccination with particular kind of symptoms, you know, how they should be treated and how we can work to mitigate this. But it also, I think, really shows very clearly the whole transparency and the honesty with this process, that people can be vaccinated in the full awareness of all of the potential risks that may be associated with
it. And for people who might have concerns, should they have the choice of being able to opt for one of the other vaccines?
No, what I would say on that, I mean, we've had a very clear conclusion from the European Medicines Agency about this continuing to be a very safe and efficacious vaccine. And I think, you know, when we look at the very real risks of COVID as a disease, and we are talking about a very, very small number of cases here, 25 in a usage of 20 million, versus what we know with COVID and the number of fatalities that we're still sadly seeing across Europe every single day. I mean, there was one day last week where 2,500 people in Europe died. So it's really important here that not to get too focused on these very small issues, and to really focus on the benefits of vaccination. So, you know, we have three very safe, very effective vaccines, four actually, and the Janssen vaccine will become available shortly on the European market. The reality is we need to vaccinate people, and every vaccine has a place in our vaccination programme.
What do you say to what we've heard from France today? Because the cases that did arise, and as you say, it's just a handful, a tiny number of cases, but they occurred in younger people, and I think that's one of the reasons why they caused some alarm and some concern. And the French for the moment have said they're not going to be using the AstraZeneca vaccine with people under 50.
Yeah, and I mean, we're seeing a very clear regulatory position. Then regulatory positions are considered by national immunisation committees. So, you may see that particular guidance emerges in member states based on the advice of national immunisation committees. And you and I have spoken about this previously on this programme, that sometimes, you know, there may be slight differences in those, and there's very good reasons for those. What I will say in terms of 25 cases, we simply, it's too few really to draw conclusions on this yet. And while we are maybe seeing some of these cases in younger people, you know, we have to remember that the cohort of people that we have been vaccinated here have tended to be younger healthcare professionals with this vaccine. So it could be that in view of that, there is almost bias in relation to those. So I can't comment on the action the French have actually taken. But, you know, in overall terms, I think it's too early to make conclusions on this yet.
And where are we with using AstraZeneca for older age groups? Because the decision was taken at an earlier stage not to apply it to the over 70s. And that, we were told, was about to be changed.
Well, it has always been the position from the regulation of the product and the regulatory viewpoint that this vaccine was suitable for use in those over 18. And I know NIAC's advice on that was that it could be used, mm-hmm. but that where preferentially the messenger RNA vaccine should be given to our older populations.
Yeah, I think NEFED recommended against.
And well, to be honest, I think, you know, the NIAC advice on this, there was prudence in it, because we have different vaccines. And particularly when we look at the messenger RNA vaccines, they do have a higher level of efficacy. And we have seen that from the clinical trials. And our whole, you know, reason behind the rollout of our vaccination programme, it's driven from the principle of working to protect those most vulnerable. And we know our older populations are at much, much higher risk of severe disease. And we were working to afford them the highest level of protection that could be provided by the messenger RNA vaccine. So it was a choice in relation to that. We also, at the time of authorisation, had limited data on the use of that vaccine over the over 65s. Now that is changing. The clinical trial in the US that we've spoken about previously and the readout from that, they did include more older populations. And also, we're seeing the results from the observational, the real world use in the UK and Scotland, which is very encouraging. So it is fluid, and that advice would change, and we've always acknowledged that as well.
And what's the current advice?
The current advice, and that is the position, is unchanged. I think at a government level, we have made the decision to continue to use the messenger RNA in the over 70s.
And not for the moment the AstraZeneca.
But it could change.
All right. Just in relation, the data which we've been talking about, this blood clotting information, came from various countries around Europe, and regulatory authorities like your own are assessing what are called adverse events. So someone who has some kind of a reaction, a clinical reaction to the vaccine. What are we seeing here in terms of adverse events as we begin to roll out the vaccination programme in this country?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've spoken again with you previously, our role just doesn't end when a product is authorised. We continue to regularly monitor the product on the marketplace. So what I can tell you, we are publishing regularly updates on the experience of our own safety reporting, and our next report is due within the next week. But based on the last report, we had approximately 3,500 reports into us across the three vaccines that are being used. And overall, I think the profile of the vaccines is very reassuring. The vast, vast majority of effects that are being reported to us are the typical kind of effects that you would expect to see with vaccination, and are very well described in the leaflet, and everybody is familiar with those. Obviously, clotting and blood clotting has been, you know, a very high interest topic over the past weeks. And what I can tell you that in relation to AstraZeneca and that vaccine, we've had overall 2,000 reports of all effects into us. And within them, we've had 7 reports of blood clotting. But there is nothing concerning in relation to those reports. They're certainly not of this very serious nature we have been talking about during our discussion today. Mm-hmm. They're more like the general types of issues, clots in the legs and the lungs. And in all of the cases, when we have looked at them, there are very possibly other medical reasons that have contributed to the occurrence of the clots. So nothing unusual or concerning in those.
Very good. Dr. Lorraine Nolan, Chief Executive of the Health Products Regulatory Authority. Thanks for talking to us here